I was very fortunate to meet Srila Prabhupada. I started the first temple in Paris, France, and I invited Prabhupada to come there. So he first went to Moscow, and from Moscow he came to Paris, and that was the first time I met him. I had already been initiated. In other words, I got initiated without seeing Prabhupada, but I became convinced by reading the Bhagavad Gita as it is, and associating with devotees. Now, when I first met him, I thought, you know, well, I'm going to meet him. He's definitely someone like Jesus Christ. When I met him, I realized I made a big, big mistake. He was much greater than Jesus. I had difficulty breathing when I met him. Usually you breathe automatically. Every function of my body seemed to stop. I was so stunned by his presence. So what happened, I arranged a program at downtown Paris at the Indian Cultural Attaché office. This was right in the center of Paris, next to the Paris Opera. It was a very prominent place. And when Prabhupada arrived, we were on a balcony of the airport, trying to see him get out of the airplane. And this was, you know, the 1970s. So the airplane would land, and then they would debark down some steps and walk on the tarmac to the terminal. So we were chanting as loud as we could, and we're having a kirtan, and we were all young kids, and everyone got off the airplane but Prabhupada. And so, you know, we had a little doubt, maybe something happened. Then one devotee came out, and that was Aravinda. And then a second devotee came out with a danda. We thought it was Prabhupada, but it was actually Shamsundar. And then there was a lull, and then all of a sudden, this transcendental person, something that I'd never seen before, walked out, and that was Prabhupada, absolutely radiant and golden in color. And his beautiful saffron dhoti on. And he heard our chanting, so he immediately raised his hands like this. And many of us were like thunderstruck by it. In fact, the only thing we could do was chant to sort of, you know, keep ourselves going. So anyway, we went down to greet him, but the immigration people wouldn't let him come in. And Shamsundar came running out with a bunch of passports, and he said, they won't let Prabhupada come because he doesn't have a ticket to his next destination. So, you know, we were all confused what to do. And he said, we got to go downtown and buy a ticket to the next destination. Otherwise, they won't let him come in. So all of a sudden, instead of greeting Prabhupada, we jumped into a taxi. A lot of the devotees stayed there. And I was in a taxi going downtown with Shamsundar. And we go downtown, we buy the tickets, we come back. Prabhupada is not there. He had convinced them, the immigration people, let him out for 24 hours. And he had gotten in a taxi and gone into Paris to the Indian attaché office or building. So this was like, you know, completely unattended. We didn't know what to do. Anyway, we jumped back into a taxi and went back downtown. Before this happened, Shamsundar had sent me a telegram. There were no email at that time. And he said, Prabhupada wants to come and see your new temple. Do something wonderful. Contact the agent of the Beatles and tell him George and the Beatles are going to come to see their guru, and get the Olympia Theater. Olympia Theater is the biggest theater in downtown Paris. You know, all the biggest artists perform there. So you have to realize these were the days when the devotees were empowered by the presence of Prabhupada. I mean, you can tell, I mean, Malati Devi knows. She and Shamsundar and Gurudas and Yamuna and Janaki and Mukunda were blessed by Prabhupada. And they came to London with nothing. And in a short time, they met George Harrison, and he helped them make a record, and and they went on tour of Europe. And it was just a miracle. Because the devotees were definitely empowered by strictly following what Prabhupada was asking us to do. So I call up Apple Records, not Apple Records, but Pathé Marconi, which was the agent of Apple Records. And I said, I'm the new agent for the Beatles. And George and John and Ringo, and they're all going to come and see their guru. And they put me through to the president of the company. And he said, well, what do you want me to do? I said, I want to see you. I want to talk about what we're going to do. I said, okay, you can come. So I go. And, you know, I was just a brahmachari, and we were very poor. We didn't have anything. So I had different colored socks, and I had tattered dhoti, and you know, my head was shaved. And this office was on the Champs-Élysées, you know, right near the Arc of Triumph. And it was a very posh building. And I, when I tried to walk in, they wouldn't let me in. They thought I was a beggar. But, you know, I insisted, you know, I have an appointment. And then they called upstairs the secretaries, and they said, yeah, this person is supposed to see the president. So when I went up, and the secretary saw me, she tried to throw me out. She thought, you know, she couldn't believe I was that person. But I showed her I was that person. So anyway, I got to see the president. When I walked in, he thought I was like an ET, an extraterrestrial. And he said, you are the agent of the Beatles? I said, yes. He said, but they didn't inform me from London. I said, it just happened. He said, okay. So at that time, we had so much confidence and faith in Prabhupada that, like, we could do anything. So he said, what do you want me to do? I said, I want the Olympia Theater. He said, well, I don't own the Olympia Theater, but I know the president. I know the director. I said, please call him up. This is very urgent because they're going to come in 5 days. So he calls up the president, and he said, and the president said, okay, tell him to come down. So I go down. Again, they tried to throw me out. They thought I was, you know, one of those crazy Hare Krishnas. We used to do Sankirtan there all the time. But, you know, I insisted, and they let me in. And I see the president. I said, what's going on? I said, George and John and Ringo and, you know, they're all going to come, and they're going to see their guru. He said, really? I didn't know about this. I said, I know. I got the information. I'm the new agent. Wow, he said, what do you want from me? I said, I want the theater. He said, okay, you got it. I said, I want the billboard also. I want to put it up on a, you know, they have this big billboard, you know, with lights and everything. He said, what do you want us to write? I said, well, you know, you put Guru of the Beatles coming and the Beatles. He said, okay. So they did that. They didn't ask any question. This was the yoga maya potency, you see. I saw it with my own eyes. They were all baffled by this whole thing. And now this is like, now by this time it's 3 days, 3 or 4 days before Prabhupada's supposed to arrive. And we didn't have any money at all. We had just spent the last few dollars we had, francs we had, renting a house And that was, we called it our first temple. So the day Prabhupada is going to arrive, the day before he's going to arrive, we have no money. We don't have a car. We don't have money to buy boga. We don't have flowers. We don't have any way of going to the airport and coming back. And I was in deep anxiety. So anyway, I couldn't sleep that night. When I woke up in the morning, it was about 2:30 in the morning. I went down to our little temple room. It was just an altar with Guru Garanga and a picture of Guru Garanga. And I started chanting. And after about an hour, I noticed that there was a paper bag on the floor. And I was thinking, oh, that's a strange thing. So after a little while, I picked it up and I opened it and it was full of money. So immediately I put it under my chadar, under my arm, and I was thinking, will I reveal that I have it if someone asks me? So I was thinking, you know, I must, you know, because it would be dishonest if I don't. And then I opened it up again, looked at it, I counted it. It was like 4,000 francs. It was like $1,000. I was thinking to myself, I had never even seen that much money in my life before. So, and I put it back under my arm. And I kept chanting. So Mangal Arati was over. We chanted our rounds. Prabhupada was coming 1 o'clock that day, right? We still didn't have boga. We didn't have flowers. We had no way of getting to the airport. So I decided I'll wait till 11 o'clock. If no one claims the money, I'm going to spend every cent of it. No one came. I spent every cent right away. And we rented, you know, not a vehicle, but a taxi and everything. And we went to the airport. We had flowers, we had boga, everything we needed. And then that mix-up happened. So now we're going back a second time to Paris to see Prabhupada. Now, Prabhupada was taken to Paris by two devotees, a husband and wife, a person named Aradhana and Santanu. And they were let into the Indian embassy office. And they have a big hall and meeting room. And Prabhupada was tired, so they let him sleep on a couch alone in the hall. And he had asked for a mango, so Aradhana went to a very posh store in downtown Paris to buy a mango. Just buy some mangoes. And his wife stayed there. And this girl was a very emotional devotee, and she had never seen Prabhupada either. So Prabhupada was sleeping. She snuck into the room, went right up to where Prabhupada was sleeping, and was just looking at him, stunned. And Prabhupada was like this, laying down, and all of a sudden, he opened one eye. And she was looking at him, and he was looking at her, and they just looked at each other for about 30 seconds or 1 minute, and then he stood up and gave her, you know, a real big smile. And then she smiled, but she couldn't speak English, she couldn't speak French. So they sort of communicated like this, you know, with their hands and smiles. And in a little while, her husband came with the mango, and then they offered the mango to Prabhupada. And it was a magic moment for her and her husband to be so intimate with Prabhupada. So then all the devotees came, and Prabhupada was speaking to everyone, and Lochanananda, one devotee, was introducing him to all the devotees. Then I came late, and I was all puffed up. I was thinking I'm temple president, and there was a big group of devotees, so I pushed everyone out of the way. The person that was with me, he stayed in the back, but I pushed my way in, got everyone to move away, and I sat right next to Prabhupada. And I was waiting to be acknowledged, but Prabhupada didn't look at me. And then he kept, you know, being introduced to everyone else. And then Lochananda said, oh, and yes, there is Ganesh Yama. He is translating your books into French. Prabhupada said, oh, where is he? And he was the boy I walked in with, but stayed way in the back. He said, please stand up. And then Prabhupada said, thank you very much. I appreciate very much what you're doing. This is the most important work, to translate my books. So when that happened, I realized I had made a big mistake, pushing my way up and sitting right next to him. So he just ignored me. And after a little while, meeting some other devotees, and then Lochanan said, and this is Hari Vilas. He's the temple president. So at first, Prabhupada didn't look at me. And then all of a sudden, he turned and looked at me. You know, it felt like there was a weight of 10,000 pounds. And he gave me a very stern look. And he said, so you have a new temple? I said, yes, Prabhupada. He said, is it very far away? I said, no. He said, oh, how long does it take to get there by car? I said, I didn't expect him to ask me that question. So I said, I think maybe half an hour, 40 minutes. He said, oh, and how about by train? I said, at least an hour. I said, oh, therefore it is very far away. So right there, I realized he's my guru. He pointed out all the imperfections in my mind in 30 seconds. You know, he asked me, is it far away? I said, no. And then he asked those two questions. And then he came to the conclusion, yes, it is far away, which it was, right? So then I was totally humbled. I didn't say a word after that. And I felt really bad that I was so puffed up. And so afterwards, we were going to see the temple. He was very tired. He had just come from Moscow. So we were in a taxi, and we're at the Place de la Concorde, this very famous place. And you can see the Champs-Élysées and the Arc de Triomphe. So Prabhupada looked up the Champs-Élysées, and he said, now I know that Paris is greater than London. He said, this is a very important city. And at that time we didn't have any books, but we had just a Macmillan abridged edition of the Bhagavad Gita. And I always carried it in a bag. And I had made little notes on a piece of paper that if I ever met Prabhupada, I would ask him certain questions. So and I was sitting right very close to him. Aradhana was between me and Prabhupada. So, and there was a lot of traffic, and the French at that time, there was no law against honking your horn. So it was like India. Everyone was honking their horns. We were stuck in the traffic. And I took my Bhagavad Gita out, and I looked at that paper, and I said, Prabhupada, can I ask you a question? He said, yes. I said, what does this verse mean? Yanisa sarvabhutanam. What is the time of awakening for massive man is night for the introspective stage. So there was so much noise, he only heard time of awakening. And he said, 4 o'clock. Our devotees wake up 4 o'clock and get ready for Mangalarti. So I said, no, Prabhupada. I said, and then Aradhana said, Prabhupada, he meant this verse, and he showed him the verse. And Prabhupada started laughing. He said, oh, yes. He said, that means that when we see the karmis, we laugh. And when the karmis see us, they laugh. He said, but our laugh is better. He said, when the karmis see us, they think, oh, look at these useless people. They're wasting their life chanting and dancing in the street. They're not serious. They have no responsibility, social responsibility. And when we see the karmis all tensed up, driving their car, trying to get to work, we laugh because we know they're wasting their time. He said, they think we're wasting our time, we think they're wasting our time, but we are right. He said, that's what that verse means. So that was very nice. So then we went to the temple, and it was just a house. There was nothing in the house. We had just moved in. There was just a little table with picture of Panchatattva, that was it. And Prabhupada's picture and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's picture. So I was behind him. He walked into the little temple room, and it was a very small room. And he said, my Gurudev is here. But he did a full dunderbot. And I was just shocked because, you know, I mean, look at this altar, how beautiful it is. There was just a little table with a picture. But he bowed down completely. Then I realized how serious this Krishna consciousness is. Anyway, he turned and went up to his room, but then he stopped and he said, can you make kachoris for me? I like kachoris very much. I said, well, Prabhupada, I never made them before. He said, oh, but you can learn. So he went up to his room and we tried to make kachoris for him. And in his room, the first thing he asked was, he saw the way the bed was aligned. He said, which way is east? So we pointed to the east. He said, you must change the bed. He said, my head should be toward the east. Then he asked for water. So we brought him a bottle of Evian. He said, what is this? We said, it's Evian water. It's very special water, mineral water in France. He said, I don't want this. He said, this is stale water. He said, I want tap water. He said, it must be running. So everything that happened was like instructive. So he rested up a little bit, and then we took him back downtown to the Olympia Theater. Again, before that, the only way we publicized it, we were going out on Sankirtan. We printed a few little sheets of paper, you know, saying the Guru of the Beatles is coming, and handed him out. But, you know, and we contacted all the newspapers also. So that evening, hardly anyone came, right? They were waiting for a full house. And I had told them, you keep the money, we don't want any of the money. And they said, oh, okay. You know, they were smacking their lips and clapping their hands, but nobody came, just like 20 people came. All the newspapers came, all the French newspapers came. And next day they had, you know, Guru of the Beatles comes to Paris, like that. So when we walk in, we're on the stage. It's a huge theater. It holds like 3,000 people. And there's nobody there. There were more people on the stage with Prabhupada than in the audience. So Prabhupada looks at me and says, I think you have to advertise better next time. I said, okay, Prabhupada, I will. He said, do you speak French? I said, I speak a little bit. He said, okay, well, I will speak very slowly. And you just translate little by little. So, I mean, I didn't really know how to speak much French at that time. So he did a wonderful kirtan, and all the devotees were sitting there, and we're all chanting in ecstasy. For us, it didn't matter that there was nobody in the audience because Prabhupada was there. Anyway, he gave a very nice lecture. I tried to translate it with my foot in my mouth. I didn't know much French, but I got through it somehow or other. Later on, he said, to be a good translator, he said, you have to know the philosophy. You don't have to translate every word. As long as you understand the ideas, and if you know the philosophy, then you can translate. So he was giving me tips. So then we're ready to come back. Now, we didn't have our own car, so we had to find a taxi. We're standing outside on the street corner, and then the devotees are running around trying to stop taxi cabs, but no taxi would stop because everyone's running around with dhotis and shaved heads, and they thought we were, you know, crazy people. So we were standing there for about 10 minutes at least, and I knew Prabhupada was tired. It was like 12 o'clock at night, and I said, Prabhupada, would you like to sit here? He said, sit where? I said, there was an outdoor cafe, French cafe. I said, here, there's a chair here. He said, what is this place? I said, it's a French cafe. He said, cafe. He said, do they drink and smoke here? I said, yes. He looked at me very sternly. He said, Guru cannot sit in such a place. I refused to sit. So that was like shocking. And after some time, a taxi stopped. He got into the taxi, and he went back. And I got into another taxi with Shyamasundara, and we're going back. It's 12 o'clock at night. So I said to Shyamasundara, so we'll get up for Mangal Arati? He said, Prabhupada's tired. I'm sure all of you are tired. You need 6 hours sleep. You can wake up a little bit later. I said, you sure? He said, yeah, no problem. I said, okay. So we got back around 12:30, 1 o'clock. So I told everyone we'll have Arati at 7 o'clock. So we all go to sleep. And someone punches me right in my ribs. I said, get up, you rascal. Prabhupada is so angry. I thought it was like a nightmare. And I wake up. I said, what's the matter? I said, Prabhupada's so upset. He said, why is there no Mangal Arati? I said, Mangal Arati is at 7. He said, no. He said, it must be at the right time. So like I realized what happened. And I jumped down, into the downstairs. And I don't even take a shower, And I go in. The Arati is just starting. And everyone's giving me really dirty looks. It's about 5:30 in the morning. And the words of Shyamasundara were still ringing my ears. That's okay. You need 6 hours sleep, So I didn't, I took it from face value. Anyway, again, someone punches me in the ribs and said, hurry up. Prabhupada's waiting for you. I said, why? He said, don't ask any questions. Just come outside. So I come outside and Shyamasundara says, Prabhupada wants to go on a morning walk and he wants you to come. So I said, okay. So now we're outside. Mangal Arati is going on. We're outside. The sun is just coming up. And Prabhupada is walking very majestically. And we're on, this is a Paris suburb. It's like 5:30. That's like 6 o'clock in the morning. The sun is coming up and Prabhupada's walking and I'm to the left of Prabhupada and the sun is coming up on the right hand side. And he's walking with his cane. Chick, 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 chick. And I'm walking a little bit behind him. And next to me is Aradhana and behind us is Shyamasundara and Prabhupada's a little bit in front of us. So I'm looking at Prabhupada and I see the silhouette of his face with the sun behind it. And it looked like, I don't know, it was just an incredible sight. It was like a transcendental sight. It looked like the Brahman Jyoti was all effulgent all around him. And we just walk in and he stops. And we all stop. And he says, Shyamasundara, why are all the grihasthas in Maya? So I don't even move. And Shyamasundara doesn't move. And he doesn't even answer. Prabhupada said, yes, this is their position. When I first came to your country, my plan was to make only sannyasis. An army of sannyasis to spread this movement. And he paused. And he looked at us. He said, but I saw it as not possible. Then I was thinking, let the boys and the girls get married. Boy, husband gives wife one son. Wife and son go to Vrindavan. Husband takes sannyas. Now, I looked at Shyamasundara, so I'm sort of looked down like this. I didn't know what to say. And Prabhupada paused, and it was a very heavy pause. He said, but that is not possible also. He said, then I thought, just let them chant Hare Krishna. Everything will be all right. So then we got relief from that intense, Then he started walking again. He stopped again and he said, look at this house. So we looked, And there was a house, you know, it was a nice suburban house. He said, everything about this house is first class. He's pointing his cane. He said, look at this iron grid fence. Only the highest class men in India have a fence like this. And look at the windows. He pointed to the French windows. They are first class. And the door is first class. And the garden is first class. And the house is first class. Everything is very good. He's paused. He said, it's too good. When he said that, yeah, she said, it's too good. You know, we realize there's something's going to happen now. He said, this house is too good. It's so good that the man in this house is attached very strongly to wife, to children, to the house, to the garden, to the fence, to the windows, to the doors. And when he dies, he'll take birth in the house again as a cockroach or a rat. That knocked the breath out of me when he said that. It was like, it was too big what he was talking about. And he looked at us, you know, we couldn't say anything. And he said, Griha Chetra Sutapta Vitar, Chalasimo, Mameti, Mameti. And he explained that verse in depth. And it was just too gigantic. Every step he was explaining things, and everything had very big meaning. Anyway, again he walked. He stopped again. He said, Hari Vilas, in your country, wine, women, and gambling are very prominent, is it not? He said, in your country, meaning France. So I was in a dilemma. If I said yes, that means I knew about these things. If I said no, it would mean I was an idiot. So I didn't know what to say, yes or no. So I didn't say anything. And he waited. He said, yes. He said, this is very prominent in your country. And we left it at that. So then he kept walking. Now we did a big circle, and now we're coming back toward the temple. More things happened, but I won't go through everything. But the most significant thing that happened is as we're coming back to the temple, now the rush hour had started. There were a lot of cars, and we were on the street walking back toward the temple. A lot of cars were coming by. It was a normal morning commute, and I was walking behind. We were all walking behind Prabhupada. Prabhupada was walking briskly. We couldn't hear his cane anymore. There was no gravel, so now we were just walking. All of a sudden, he stopped right in the middle of everything. And I almost bumped into him. And I thought, well, I just won't move and wait till he starts walking again. But he didn't. It went on 30 seconds, then 1 minute. And then I felt something strange was happening. And I actually looked up to see, look at Prabhupada. And he had his cane on the sidewalk. And he was just shaking his head like this with his eyes closed. And he had his head up like that. He was just shaking it. And I felt like an otherworldly experience was happening. I couldn't explain it. I didn't understand it. All of a sudden, he said in a very soft whisper, he said, oh, he said, this breeze is just like Vrindavan. And he said, this breeze, this soft wind is just like Vrindavan. And, you know, he said, this breeze, and I wasn't feeling any breeze, so I just sort of tried to skew my brain to feel the breeze, and I did feel a very soft wind touching my face, you know. And then right after that, it's like my whole body heated up, and, you know, this overwhelming feeling came over me that he actually took us to Vrindavan with him, that we were experiencing Vrindavan on that French street in the middle of nowhere. But he was in Vrindavan, and he was taking us with him. So that was completely overwhelming. So we kept walking. We're almost at the temple. And I said to Prabhupada, you know, we have this new temple now, and I think we'll be able to maintain it. He said, oh, Krishna will help you. But I have an ideal. So I said, Prabhupada, we can maintain it with selling these perfumes. He said, oh. I said, yeah, we'll start a business and we'll sell these perfumes. He said, your business is Sankirtan and preaching. You are brahmachari. If there is some grihastha, he may do business, but you cannot do. So that ended that. So we went back, and then all of a sudden, Shamsundar said, look, Prabhupada has to leave. Customs people said he has to leave in 24 hours. We only have an hour to get to the airport. So this was like, you know, a tragedy. He did first give a class. It was an absolutely amazing class. He sang the entire prayers to the Goswamis. It was like a complete transcendental experience. And then after that, he said he's going to leave. So they asked me to get a taxi. So I didn't know where to get a taxi. We didn't have a phone. So I was just running out in the streets looking for a taxi. By the time I came back, he had already left. You know, and it was like 24 hours of his association. Anyway, I'll stop right there. but you can see that anyone that met Prabhupada, it was an overwhelming experience. And we're very fortunate that he's with us now also, you know, his books and his tapes. So thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.